a series called Paradigm Shift. We have been talking about the shift that takes place, the change that takes place when the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us, and we've called it Paradigm Shift because it truly is just that. It's a shift of a paradigm or of a model of a very complete at the very core of us is a change, an incredible change that he brings in our life. We spoke about that in the first message. This changes everything, because indeed it does. When the Holy Spirit comes, it changes everything. We spoke then about purpose and Pentecost, and the purpose of Pentecost was harvest. And we talked about that. And then last week, we talked about the Father's gift. The Father's gift. And if you weren't here, I encourage you to go and listen to those messages. Today, I want to talk with you about power. Power. Next week, by the way, just to kind of a look ahead, next week we're going to talk about spirit life. Spirit life. And I encourage you to be here. It's going to be a good finale for this whole series. But this morning we're going to talk about power. And I love this quote when you start talking about power. I love this quote. You just have to read it and it kind of dawns on you. Being powerful is like being a lady. If you have to tell people you are, you aren't. Right? If you have to tell people you are, you aren't. This morning, we're going to talk a little bit about that. And here's the premise that I want you to understand as we kind of dive into this message this morning is that power may not be what you think. And power may not do what you think. It is more, and it does more. And I want you to think about that just for a moment. Let me give you some background before we get to the scriptures that I want to read this morning. Jesus often spoke about power. He spoke about power all the way through his ministry. And as the disciples were around him, he would often talk about power and use the word power. However, when the disciples heard that, they heard that through their human, Jewish, nationalistic framework. So that when Jesus said power, they thought he meant power. He didn't mean power. He meant power. They thought he meant political, social, military, financial, even religious power. And he didn't mean that at all. Didn't mean that at all. Think about it for a moment. Put yourselves in the place of the disciples and just walk with me just for a moment. And think how confusing this might have been for them, because he was talking about power of the kingdom. And they thought he was talking about power of the kingdom. Little K. He was talking about power of the kingdom, big K. He was talking about power, big P, of the kingdom, big K. They didn't understand it at all. And so what they were, all the time he was talking about power, they thought he was bringing Israel back to power, and they were all going to sit in places of power. They were thinking political, religious, social, economic, military power is what they were thinking. So put yourself in the place of the disciples and think just of the confusing nature of all this. When Jesus said, now remember, he's already been saying, as he gets near the end of his life, he's been saying to them, my time is coming. My time is coming. My time is near. As he gets near, prior to that, he said, my time is not yet. But as he gets near, he said, my time is coming. My time is near. So think what it said to them. One night, they're sitting around a campfire somewhere. And he says, my time is coming, and he looks at them, and he says, let's go to Jerusalem. At Jerusalem, the capital city, Jerusalem, maybe this is it. Maybe this is when we are going to get power. And they get up, and they follow Jesus, and the next morning, as he begins to walk into Jerusalem, remember what happens on Palm Sunday? They're walking into Jerusalem, and the people spontaneously begin to just shout to him, Hosanna, Hosanna. They begin to take off their coats and lay down in front of him. They run, and they take palm branches and begin to lay down before him, and as he's walking out, and the crowds just get bigger and bigger, and singing, Hosanna, 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 and the disciples are thinking, this has to be it. This is when we get power. And then the Pharisees come down and they say, to make it worse, the Pharisees come down and they say to him, Jesus, make them stop. The Romans are going to come down and put this down as a riot and a rebellion. And Jesus says, remember what he says? If I make them stop, the very rocks will cry out in praise to me. And the disciples think, yes. Finally, somebody putting the Pharisees in their place. We are about to get power. Then to make it worse, remember what he does? He walks right in. In fact, the whole idea of the palm branches being put down says to the Jews that their king is coming. That's what the whole thing says, their king is coming. To make it worse, when he does enter Jerusalem, he goes straight to the temple courts. Remember what he does? He braids a cord and he begins to drive out the evil, crooked, dishonest money changers there in the court. And what he says, remember what he says? He says, this house, you've made it a den of thieves. It shall be a house of prayer. In fact, he cleansed the temple twice. And the first time that he cleansed it, he didn't say this house. He said, my father's house, you have made a den of thieves. But I tell you, it will be a house of prayer. And the disciples, it all is just going on inside of them. And they think, yes, finally, Jesus is about to take power. In fact, the only other person to use the phrase, my father's house, was David, King David. Surely now Jesus is going to be the new King David. They are going to get power. The problem was, is as suddenly as it all started, it all ended. Because Jesus leaves Jerusalem, walks across the Kidron Valley, up the other side into the Garden of Gethsemane, through the olive groves there into the Garden of Gethsemane. And from a Jerusalem street of thinking we are going to get power to the Garden of Gethsemane is only a day's journey, but it seemed like a lifetime. And they're there and the soldiers come and Judas comes and he betrays Jesus and the soldiers begin to take him away. And Peter thinks, if you're not going to give me power, I'll take power. And he takes out his sword and chops off the servant's ear. He wasn't aiming for his ear. That's just all he got. And Jesus takes and heals the servant's ear and tells Peter, put your sword away. And Peter's like, he's totally confused. And they take Jesus away. And that night, flog Jesus. And the next day, they crucify Jesus on a cross. And the disciples aren't all thinking about power then. All they're thinking about is staying alive. The next day, staying alive. The third day, then the word comes, the news comes. Think about it now. Think about this up and down emotional roller coaster there. The next day, the news comes that Jesus is alive, and they go, and Jesus comes and he shows himself to them. And now they're thinking again. They're thinking again now. Okay, now this is power. I mean, who can deny a king that defeats death? Now we really and truly get power, right? This has got to be it. But one day runs into two, and 1 week runs into three, and 3 weeks run into four, and 40 days go past, and Jesus walks out. One day it takes them out to a hill outside of Jerusalem. And he looks at them, and he says this to them. Look with me in Luke, the 24th chapter, the 49th verse. So that you're not confused, it is the verse we used last week. A different emphasis this morning. Two verses I'm going to use. The first is Luke 24:49. Remember now, all of this talk about power, they're totally confused now. And Jesus walks out on a hillside and says to them, I am going to send you what my Father promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power. There it is again, from on high. The companion verse to that is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Flip over, flip right about 12 or 15 pages. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What is going on here? What is going on? Let's talk for a minute, just for a few moments, about power and about what Jesus was talking about when he said power. And we can glean it from these two verses here. I just want to pull out three or four, maybe five words from these two verses to help us to make sense of what Jesus is talking about and what difference it makes in our life at all. First thing that I just want you, this word clothed that you found in Luke 24, verse 49, the word clothed there literally means to dress. It means to dress or to dress up or to, it's the idea in this sense, is the idea of endowing. Endowing, placing upon, the idea of clothes. So you will be clothed with power. And the word bear power, again, is a different word. It's not religious, social, economic, financial, political power at all. The word power there, watch this, literally means ability. In other words, you can do. It's ability. But in this particular sense, it means being under the controlling influence. Being under the controlling influence of another, particularly when it comes to the supernatural impacting reality. So the word power that Jesus is using here is not military, social. He is talking about power, a different type of power, about being under the controlling influence, particularly so that the supernatural can impact the reality of the world. And he said this power will come from on high. I'm just unpacking the verse just a little bit here. Just stick with me just for a moment. It comes from on high. It means it's above and beyond. It's transcendent. It's above, higher than, greater than, bigger than, superintending over. So this power, what he's saying there is you will be clothed with this controlling influence of what? That comes from on high or comes from God. A couple of verses that jump out to you from Acts chapter 8, and I'm going to pull this together in just a moment. Notice what he says in verse 8. You receive power, same definition, that controlling influence of God. When the Holy Spirit, that word Holy Spirit literally interpreted means pure breath. Pure breath, literally interpreted. In this context, he's talking about the Holy Spirit of God, who is the very life and breath of God, who is God himself and comes into our lives and comes upon us. Now, he says this, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when the Holy Spirit arrives and comes upon you. So what does all of that mean? What was Jesus talking about when he says power? Notice what Jesus says here in these two verses together. Jesus was saying that when the Holy Spirit comes, that the very breath and life of God will come on you, and God will be your controlling influence so that then the supernatural can impact the natural. The supernatural can impact the reality. In other words, they will be endowed. They will be wrapped in. They will be clothed with the controlling influence of God so that the supernatural can manifest in a real way, in a real tangible way. Pastor, what does that mean for us? What it means for us is that the Holy Spirit comes and covers and clothes the Christian in such a way that they would manifest God's power in a very real, tangible way as they walk through life, go through their marriages, go to work, that they will be clothed with power. Now, I understand I've said a lot here. Let me see if I can demonstrate what I'm talking about. When we talk about power, when the disciples thought power, they thought it was something that they would get, something that they had, when in fact it is something, God's power is not something you get, something you have, it is something that has you. Let me see if I can demonstrate. Let me get Alicia. Alicia, come here and help me. Just stand right here. If I give Alicia my coat, Alicia has got my coat. She has the coat. Just hold it in your hand there. Just hold it in. She has the coat. So there is a sense in which if that's power, she has power. However, that's not what God's talking about at all. Listen, social, religious, political, economic, financial, military power, you might have it. That's not what God's talking about at all. Not what God's talking about. Geraldine, come help me a second. It is something totally, what God's talking about is something totally and completely different. Button it up. Okay, listen now. Does she have power or does power have her? You see what we're talking about here? God is talking about two totally different things. We think, the disciples think, power that we have in our hand, that we hold, that we wield like a scepter, something we can use to accomplish our purposes. And that is not what God is talking about at all. Hold on, I'm not through. Oh, I can't. She's claustrophobic. Breathe deep. Breathe deep. What God is talking about, I'll turn you loose. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Give her a hand. We think, even we sometimes think when we read this, that what it's saying is God is going to give me power. That is not what God is saying at all. What God is saying is he is going to clothe us in power such that we don't have power so that we can accomplish what we want to accomplish. Rather, he clothes us in power so that he can accomplish through us what he wants to accomplish. He was not talking about mere power. He was talking about real transforming, life-changing power. Amen. Two total different things entirely. In fact, it is for lack of understanding what God meant by power that many Pentecostals and charismatics, I'm going to bring it right home to where we are, that many Pentecostals and charismatics miss the point entirely. It is not about me having power. It is about God's power covering me, endowing me, about his high power having me, his power having Jordan, his power having Ginger, such that he then can do, Bill, what he wants to do through us. He does not have or need mere man-made power, but he wants to clothe us with the power of the Holy Spirit that is from on high, and that is a paradigm shift. That changes everything. Amen. Changes everything. It's something totally and completely different than we seem to think, than we seem to understand. The Holy Spirit comes and covers us. The Holy Spirit comes and clothes us. It's a paradigm shift. You don't have his power. His power has you, or you have nothing. Hello? Right? God does not... Let's just get it right down where we live. God does not give me, I'll use me as an example. God does not give me power, right, to be a pastor in order that I can pastor the church. Rather, God clothes me with his power so that he can pastor the church through me. Hello? Wow. It's two totally different things. Same is true for praise and worship. God does not give you power so that you can direct the song service and get it where you want it. Instead, he clothes us with power so that he can, the Holy Spirit, can bring praise and glory and honor to Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We don't have any power, but his power has us, children. His power has us. This changes everything. I know it changed things for me. Because here's the thing. Can we just be honest? Here's the thing. The reality is we know we don't have any power. And if we think we're supposed to have power, we're always trying to do something realizing we don't have any power, right? But when we come to realize that his power has us, I don't have to have any power. I have to allow his power to have me. Then he can accomplish through me everything he wants to accomplish through me. That's word, church. That is a paradigm change that shifts and changes everything. That changes, you understand, don't you? That changes all these power struggles that we seem to have. And I don't have any power anyway, and neither do you. The power is that he is power has us. It's a shift. It's a change. It changes everything. And it's a good change. Isaiah 32, I believe it's 15 and 18. Isaiah 32 said this. When this power, by the way, Isaiah was prophesying to them about a very dark time that God's power, watch this, God's spirit was going to come from on high. And Isaiah, I believe it's 32:15 says, when the spirit comes from on high, the desert will turn into a field and the field will turn into a forest, such that the people of Israel, down in verse 18, it says, live and dwell in houses of rest. Aren't you glad this morning that you don't have to turn a desert into a desert into a field and a field into a forest? But when the Holy Spirit comes from on high, you might be living in a desert place, but his power on you can turn that desert into a field and that field into a forest and that forest into a place of peace and dwelling in him. Wow. Power, his power in us. There are two considerations to this that you and I have to think about this morning, and the difference this makes in our lives, if we're going to understand this idea of his power having us instead of us having power. The first one is this. Being clothed in the power of God is first about being, and second about doing. Let me say that again. Being clothed in the power of God is first about being and second about doing. We get that completely mixed up. We think the power of God is about doing so that I can be somebody. Come on now. Come on, don't get quiet on me. We think if we could just do... If we could just do a miracle, if we could just preach a sermon, if we could just pray for somebody and them fall out, then we would be somebody. Come on now. You know I'm telling the truth. We've got it completely backwards. Listen, God is not looking. What God is looking for is someone who will be somebody. They'll be a man of God. They will be a woman of God. They will be a mouthpiece for him. They will be a humble servant for him. They will be an individual that obey him. And when we be somebody, then he can use us to do something that will bring glory to his name. But that power comes first to make us somebody, and then, and only then, to do something through us. Wow. Well, that's a change. That kind of mixes things up completely. Listen, the Holy Spirit came to transform me, to make me into a person that could be clothed in the power of God. If you won't let him make you someone, then he cannot do anything through you. Hello? I'm going to talk a little more. I'm going to tie into that thought next week when I talk about spirit life. Spirit life. I'm going to tie into that point last week. But remember, listen, if you and I want to walk in the power of God, we need to concentrate on being and let him concentrate on the doing. Concentrate on being a man that can walk in the power of God, being a woman that can walk in the power of God, being a servant that will listen and obey him. You and I need, listen, if you want power, you be the kind of person that God, allow the Holy Spirit to make you the kind of person that he can then clothe in your power. You concentrate on being and let him concentrate on the doing. Wow. Second consideration is this, and this is what really gets real. Take your feet and pull them up under the chair. I'm just being facetious. But you might actually want to do it. All right, here it is. Having God's power means relinquishing all other forms of power. Wow. There it is. In other words, if you want real power, you cannot yearn for, seek for, desire mere power. Wow. See, mere power will corrupt a man. Real power transforms a man. Listen, the real power of God that comes from the Holy Spirit transforms a man into the individual that he wants them to be. So if you and I want real power, we have to give up claim, use of, desire for mere power. Let me see if we can demonstrate this. You go to the, and I'll just use the bank, not picking on Judy. Judy doesn't work at the front desk of a bank anyway. It's just the illustration that comes to mind. But you go to the bank and you want them to help you set up an account. And the girl at the front desk, and I haven't had this experience, at least not recently, but you'll know what I'm talking about. It can be a bank, it can be anywhere, but the service, the person, the customer service person, is it just me? Does it seem like customer service people forget that it's customer service? But that's a, yeah, that's a... But the customer, here's what I'm talking about. The customer service individual, you go in, you want them to help you with something, but they have, you've got to fill out this form, you've got to fill in all of the dots, and if you don't fill everything out correctly, she takes it back, gives it back, you've got to fill it out again. And what is that? What is that, that you are going to do it like this, or you are not going to get what you want? What is that? That is the only little bit of power that she has in her life. She's not in control. Now, listen, now, I'm just talking about a generic person. But you know what I'm talking about. They don't have any power at home. They don't have any power over their finances, their life. But right here at this desk, this is my domain, and I'm going to hold on to this power. But that's what that is. And it manifests itself in all kinds of ways in our lives. We see it in parent-child relationship. We see it in marriages. But here's the thing about God's power says, if you want real power, you got to turn loose of all those other forms of power. Because God, listen, God's power will not be adulterated with other powers. He's not going to mix and mingle it. And the problem with us, and I'm just talking about... You know, I'm just being honest. The problem with us is this. Listen to me. Our selfish ambition will get you mere power, but never real power. But pride will tell you have power. It won't tell you that it's just mere power and not real power, right? Arrogance will lift you up. It'll lift you up only to allow it to collapse under you because it was mere power and not real power. What are you saying? Because, see, Zechariah 4:6 had it right. He had it exactly right. When Zechariah served in the time of, he prophesied in the time of Haggai when they were rebuilding the temple, and they had stopped rebuilding the temple and had been building their own homes. And Zechariah has a number of visions in that. And one of those visions in it, the Pentecostal charismatics like us, we love to quote it. You probably can finish it as I start. Remember what Zechariah said in 4:6? Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We quote that verse thinking that what it means is, I can't do this, but with God on my side, I can. We quote that and think that's what it means, but it's not what it means at all. He said, not by might, nor by power. In other words, those man-made things, but by my spirit. What he's saying at all is this. He wasn't saying, you can't do it, but God can, so you can. What he was saying was, God wants to make you into the kind of person that can turn loose of might and turn loose of power and let the Spirit of God do with you what he wants to do with you. Wow, that's power. It's totally different. It's a paradigm shift in our lives. See, here it is. If you boil it down, here's your takeaway. Here's the main idea that I want you to take away this morning is this. In order to live in the power of God, and I think everybody anybody here that doesn't want to live in the power of God, in order to live in the power of God, allow yourself to be covered with the power of God. Be covered by the Holy Spirit of God. There he is. That's it. That's what it's like. It's a paradigm shift. It's a whole shift. Now, what that means for you and I is, what difference does that make in our lives is this, is that God may use you. God may use you to manifest signs and wonders and healing. God does that stuff, and God's still going to do that stuff. I'm not saying that stuff is not. I'm saying God may use you to demonstrate power and signs and wonders and healings. Oh, and equally, God may clothe you to stand up for your belief in the middle of a corrupt society. Right? God, that power that comes on you, God, listen, God may use you, and I hope that he does use you, to speak prophetically in a church service a word that needs to be heard in the church. But equally, God may clothe you in such a way that you have exactly the right words to speak to a friend in a time when they need it. It is both God's power. We because we concentrate on the power and not the clothing, sometimes we get our eyes on the wrong things. We think it's all signs and wonders and miracles and prophetic words. And I'm going to talk some about that next week. You're going to want to be here next week when I talk about spirit life. It may be, God's power may be, that you can stand toe-to-toe face with the devil. And I'm telling you, God's power will help you to do that. Or equally, it may be that God's power clothes you so that you can be a gentle, loving husband. Wow, I thought the wives would have said amen right there. They're both equally powerful. Come on now, I thought you would have bought into that a little bit. Think about it for a moment. Yes, I want to be a man of God that can stand toe-to-toe in face of an attack of the devil and just stand man up by the power of God and fight for my family and my marriage and my house and my family. Yes, I want to be that, but I also want the power of God to make me a gentle, loving, kind servant to my wife and children. They both require the power of God. Amen. And they are both equally powerful. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about power, not power. Power that clothes us. I don't want the power of God. I would not know what to do with it. Right? Let me illustrate it for you. You think I'm kidding you, that you wouldn't know what to do with it either. Think about last week. I prove that you do not know, would not know what to do with the power of God. Think about last week. When you were driving, you were in a hurry to get where you needed to go. You were in the left-hand lane of the interstate, the fast lane. And three cars are side by side going 54 miles an hour. Let me just say, in that moment, if you had the power of God, you would not know what to do with it. Right? Now, as funny as that is, there are real life circumstances where if I were God, I would have. Come on now. If I were God, I would not know what to do with the power of God. And I'm thankful he doesn't give it to us, but he does clothe us in his power so that he can do with us what he wants to do with us. Amen? Amen. By the way, just a side comment. If you're driving in the left-hand lane of the interstate, and everybody's passing you on the right side, you're doing it wrong. Just want to let you know, you're doing it wrong if all of the traffic is moving by on the right side. What do you do with this, Pastor? Listen to me. This power is about God bringing, and this is where I'm going to tie in next week, and I hope you'll be here. This power is about bringing the kingdom of God into every aspect of your life. We don't just need the power of God for church. We need the power of God for marriages. We need the power of God for parenting. We need the power of God. There are some customer service representatives. I hope you didn't take offense early. And listen, my wife is a customer service representative. I have to go home with her. So I was treading gently there, but listen to me. She comes home and tells the stories. I've heard them from Judy. You need the power of God to be a customer service representative. Yeah. You need the power of God to be able to live a life that will be a testimony to those around you. And you need the power of God because God may use your hands to lay on somebody and heal the sick. He may use you to bring a miracle in somebody's life. He may use you to speak a prophetic word. But God wants to bring the kingdom of God into every aspect of your life. And the only way it does that is when we give up all the other forms of power. Say, here I am, God, clothe me. Cover me in your power. They don't have to know my name. They don't have to see me. They don't have to see who I am. Nobody even has to know who I am. I just want to be clothed in your power so that my world can be impacted and you can bring the kingdom of God into people's lives. Amen? Amen. That's real power. That's real power. What do you do with this? I think the only thing to do with this is ask God to clothe you in his power and to help you to get rid of anything that would hinder you from being clothed in his power. Next week, I'm talking about how to live in that power, in spirit life. We're going to talk about that next week, and I hope you'll be here. But this morning and this week, can I ask you, ask God to clothe you in his power. The greatest need in Christendom today. There are all kind of strategies, all kind of plans, all kind of things that are out there about what the church needs to do. Let me tell you what the greatest thing the church needs to do is to be people that are clothed in God's power. Then we can be his witnesses to a world that needs to not only hear his love, but see his love demonstrated. Not only hear a witness, but watch a witness living it out. Amen? Power. And his power helps us to do that. Just stand up with me. God, I ask you this morning. I ask you this morning to clothe us in your power. Clothe us in your power, God. Lord, we repent, Lord, of thinking wrong about power, that somehow it is something that we have when really it's about power, your power having us. Lord, clothe us in your power. Make us the people that you want us to be, that we can wear your power well. That we can wear your power well so the world will know and the world will see, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This week, when we wake up, let the prayer of our lips be, clothe us in your power today because there's something that you want to do. Clothe us in your power today because there's somebody that we're going to meet. Clothe us in your power today because there's a situation that we're going to face. Clothe us in your power today, Lord, because there's an individual we're going to talk to, Lord, that needs to see a demonstration of the power of God, and the only way they see it is if we're clothed in it. Thank you, and I praise you for that. Thank you, and I praise you for that today. Thank you, Lord. Before we close this morning, I want to give a moment for prayer. We were singing earlier and praying earlier. I knew we were going to close the service at a moment for prayer. If you have a need this morning, you can't preach about power and not take a moment to pray for people. So if you have a need this morning, if you have a physical need, or if there's something you're facing that you need, Pastor, I need to be clothed with God's power for this situation that I'm facing right now. If that's you this morning, I want you to just come. Or maybe you need God to touch you with his power. There's a sickness or a question or a circumstance that you're dealing with. And I'm just going to give you a moment to do that this morning. I'm going to also ask if, Brittany, would you let us pray with you? Brittany's lost her grandfather this morning. And to a very quick battle with cancer. He's only 65 years old. And Brittany, we're going to pray for you if you'll come. Michael, you and Brittany come. Suzanne Wiley, would you come? And maybe the Tishnells want to come with you and just stand with you this morning. Randy, Suzanne's, yeah, just stand right here. Yeah, there you go. Randy is in the hospital, and he is, for the most part, he is in kidney failure. Yeah. And you, when you say that, everybody here knows what that means. And so we need to pray for Randy this morning. So we're going to do that. I'm going to ask some to come and just stand behind them. And we're going to anoint them and pray for them. But if you have a need, these are just two that I know of. But if you have a need this morning, you want us to pray with you, would you just come? You need the power of God to touch your life, or there's a situation that you're facing that you need the power of God to clothe you this morning in a special way. We're going to pray with you as well. So if you will come. Gerald, if you'll pray with Brittany and... Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Maybe a couple of singers will come and help us just sing for just a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for allowing God's power to clothe you. Oh, man. What a way to live. Not holding on to power, but allowing His power to hold on to us. Amen. Amen. I do encourage you to be here next week, preaching a message called Spirit Life. We're going to get real. It's going to get all pulled down to one central point. I hope you'll be here. Till I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. We love you. If you're a first-time guest here, if we can serve you in any way, please let us know. Thank you. God bless you. We love you.